Good morning. It is so good to see you this morning. We do have a lot of visitors with us this morning. We want to welcome you. We want you to know that we are honored that you've chosen to be here with us. If we have a unique weekend for our country in the way that we celebrate the holidays, but for us here, it's the first day of the week. It's a day that we come together each and every first day of the week to celebrate the Lord and His death. And that's exactly what we've done this morning. It's an opportunity for us to be together, to open up His Word and to study from it, and that's what we're going to do as well. John chapter 19 is where we're going to spend our time this morning. If you've got a New Testament handy, I'd encourage you to open it over that way. It is good to see you this morning. It's good to be back. We've been away for a few days down in Florida. Someone asked me if I brought this weather with me, and I'll tell you, I did not. I did not bring this weather with me. It was nice down there. Won't talk a whole lot about it, but it was in the 80s, and it was sunny, and it was very, very nice. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, but I had t-shirt on, and it was, no. But it is so good to be back with you. It's nice to be away, and it's nice to have some time to see some friends of ours. We've left Florida. We've been here now 6 months. It may seem a short time or a long time, depending on your perspective, but it was good to visit with some folks down there. But it's really good to be back with you. And I'm excited to be here and to be back in Indiana with you. So excited am I to be back. We're actually leaving again this afternoon and going to Louisville for a couple of days. We'll spend some time with our family. I know a lot of you also will be planning to leave this afternoon to be traveling. We pray that you will be getting there safely. It's made mention already that this time of the year is a time that it seems the world in a lot of ways is very focused upon Jesus. Now, they're primarily focused upon the very beginning of His life and His birth. And I'll tell you, just on the very surface of things, I'm excited when people are focused on Jesus. I wish more people would be more focused on Jesus more of the time. And so when people are focused on Jesus, I think that that is a good thing. But what we miss sometimes is as we focus in on Jesus and in on His life, what is to be celebrated, what is to be lifted up, what is to be memorialized and remembered is what happened on the cross. It is something that Jesus Himself talked about and something that He pointed to that His people would think about each and every week. And so every first day of the week here at Traders Point, we have, as we have already this morning, partaken of the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week. We break bread together, which helps us to remember His body that was broken upon the cross and the blood that was spilt there in the fruit of the vine. Each and every first day of the week, pointing ourselves back to the cross. Why is that so important? Well, it's so important because on that cross and in that blood that was spilt is the very life of all that we have as Christians. It gives us that possibility to have our sins washed away and giving us the opportunity to have this incredible relationship with God. Without that sacrifice, the relationship that we have as Christians, even today, and ultimately the relationship that we will have with Him in heaven, wouldn't be possible. But it is possible because of the sacrifice that was made. All four Gospels make mention of Jesus and the crucifixion. They all go about it in a little bit different way. This morning, we're going to spend time in looking at John's Gospel, and we're going to really spend our time honing in on one particular conversation that Jesus has on the cross. But we're going to begin this morning with reading John's account of the crucifixion, picking up in verse 16 of John chapter 19 and going through verse 30. I'd encourage you to open it up there. If you don't have a Bible handy or you've got one there on your phone, we have a few there in the pew that you can find and find your way to John chapter 19. Let's read it together. We're going to begin in verse 16. It says that He delivered Him to be crucified. That's Pilate delivered Jesus. And so they took Jesus and led Him away. And He, bearing His cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him. Two others with Him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews," but he said, "I am the King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. And now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said, therefore, among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." And the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." And therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, I want us to begin to think here from John chapter 19 as we should do in every circumstance and situation that we read of Jesus. When you go through the Gospels, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I would encourage you, as you read about Jesus and you examine his life, that you do two things every single time you run across the story of Jesus. Number one, you need to be awed by him in every way. Even as we read about his life throughout this earth and read about his ministry and the teaching that he did and the miracles that he performed and the way that he conducted himself, it is an easy thing, or it should be an easy thing, to simply be awed by him in every way. And so number one, when we read and study about Jesus, you need to be awed by him. Number two, you need to learn something from him. Every single time, every time you open up the Gospels and you read about a circumstance that Jesus finds himself in, or you read a story that he finds himself dealing with, you need to be learning something from him. Because he came that way to be an example for us, to teach us something, to be something for us that we can point to say, this is what Jesus wanted me to know in what he said or in what he did. And the cross is no different. It's easy to be awed by Jesus on the cross. It's easy to be awed by him. The sacrifice that was made, the reason that he made the sacrifice. But yet on that cross, he continues to teach. We're going to hone in this morning on one particular conversation that Jesus has on the cross. And what I think is conveyed for all of us, although it seems to be a very personal, a very private, a very intimate conversation between Jesus, his mother, and this disciple I believe to be John, it allows for us to learn something, and what we learn is the power of love. And what I mean by that is, we talk often about the cross is all about love. We'll cite John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Brother Huxtable read for us from 1 John chapter 4 about how it was that God is almost the very definition of God. In this, the love of God. God is love, that he gave his son for us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. John will say there in 1 John chapter 4. And this thing is popping off my head. I know it. I'm just going to fix it. You're probably now, you're like, how distracting is that guy going to be? He keeps fiddling with that thing. I'm just going to take a moment. Much more comfortable now. I tried to slightly make adjustments to it on the fly, but that didn't work. This is much better right now. So what we can learn from Jesus about love. It's an amazing picture that's given to us. Not just in his act, but even on the cross continues to teach about love. And he does so through this conversation that we get a picture of given to us by John. You know, it's interesting how John makes mention of the women who are here at the cross. All four gospels make mention that there are women there at the cross. All of them also make mention that his disciples, his apostles, who were the closest ones to him, they've basically all run away, save for John who was there. But these women continue to follow Jesus. There's a list given to us here in John chapter 19. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. Jesus' mother's sister is there. Salome is there, Mark lets us know. Matthew tells us that the mother of Zebedee's sons are there. Mary, the wife of Clopas, is there. Matthew and Mark make mention that Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, is there. Mary Magdalene is there. Luke just simply states that many women were there, all at the very base of the cross. You may ask, although they were close followers of Jesus and were around him all the time, why were these women not arrested? Why were they not bothered like some of his other apostles were? Well, I think the simple answer to that was, women at this time, they were no threat to anybody. I mean, they were not bothersome. They were not noticed even that much. And so here at the cross of Jesus, all of these women, some scholars will suggest that these three people made mention of, Jesus' mother's sister, Salome, mother of Zebedee's sons, as Matthew make mention, may all be the same person. That could be. They'll also make mention that Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, may also be the same. And so what we see is there could have been as few as four women, or as many as seven, or even more that aren't mentioned at all. And in the midst of all of the chaos, in the midst of all of the people there at the cross of Jesus, not just those women who were there weeping at the cross, but those people who were passing by, ridiculing, spitting at him, blaspheming him, in the midst of all of this incredible chaos, Jesus focuses down to two. And this morning I'm going to ask you to, number one, be awed by his conversation, and secondly, learn something from it. This intimate conversation that you have recorded here in John certainly is the only one that records it for us here in John chapter 19. And on the cross, Jesus speaks to John and speaks to his mother. And the important Hebrew word, which is translated to see, Greek word, excuse me, is given to us. It makes mention that Jesus sees something. And then Mary sees something. And then John sees something. And this morning we're going to take a closer look at what they're seeing. An understanding of what they see can be helpful to us. Let's start with what Jesus saw. Jesus hanging from the cross. In the midst of all of the pain that he's going through, in the midst of all of the agony, in the midst of all of the mental trauma that Jesus is dealing with, he is able, in the face of all of that, to see the pain of someone else. And so the very beginning of this is that Jesus teaches us that even in pain, we need to be able to see the pain of others. Mary's husband, Joseph, who's not mentioned anywhere in Scripture after Jesus was 12 years old and left in the temple, probably at this time, as per this conversation, has passed away. Jesus, bearing the responsibility of his mother, himself is about to go away. And knows the difficulty that she has, knows the problems that she is going to encounter in the face of his own pain and his own difficulty, is able to see the pain of someone else. I want us to think just for a second. Is that easy to do? I want you to think back to a time in your life where you were dealing with something difficult, pain that you had in your life. How easy is it for you then to focus on anybody else but yourself? I won't answer for you, but I will answer for myself by saying it is most difficult. It's most difficult because when it is that we're dealing with something within ourselves, we simply deal with ourselves. It's hard to think of someone else, to see someone else and the needs that they may have. But Jesus, here on the cross, He is able to see the pain of someone else. And it is possible because we see it happen all the time. This is a picture of a young man. I'll tell you his story real quick. His name is Miles Eckhart. And Miles Eckhart was going into Cracker Barrel one morning with his mother, and he hit the jackpot. Because in the parking lot, as he walks in, on the ground, a $20 bill. An 8-year-old Miles Eckhart can hardly contain his enthusiasm. He finds that $20 bill, and his mother says, well, we need to ask around to see if someone had dropped it. And so they go in and they ask around, and it doesn't seem like anyone has dropped it. And suddenly now, this newfound wealth that he has, a $20 bill, he found a Cracker Barrel. Just keeps on giving. Sometimes I find a penny on the ground. I've never found a $20 bill, but sometimes a dime. You know, you can really get big with a quarter sometimes. But a $20 bill. And they're eating their meal in Cracker Barrel, and young Miles Eckhart sees sitting off by himself at a table eating lunch a man in uniform, and his name was Frank Daly. And Miles Eckhart takes a little piece of paper and that $20 bill, and he writes Mr. Daly a note, and he sends it his way. And his note in his tiny little handwriting was this. Can you read it? Can anybody read this but me? Look close. I'll read it for you. It's not just hard to see. It's also in 8-year-old handwriting, so that makes it doubly difficult. I'll read it for you. Dear soldier, my dad was a soldier. He's in heaven now. I found this $20 in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. Today's your lucky day. Thank you for your service. A gold star kid, Miles Eckhart. He left it and sent it to him. Now, listen, that blew up, the soldier, that whole story kind of blew up, and CBS did a big thing about it. But I want us to think just for a second. Miles Eckhart's father died in Afghanistan when he was 5 weeks old. Never knew his dad. But he sees a soldier, and every time thinks about his dad, every time he sees him. And in the midst of that, he's able to think of someone else. And what I want us to understand is that the easiest way to love, the easiest way to love someone is to notice them. Because love pays attention. Who struggles the most with loving other people? The selfish, the proud. Because they can't see past themselves to someone else. Love pays attention. Even on the cross, Jesus pays attention. He sees his mother. What a powerful picture that is. What a powerful picture that John gives us here in John chapter 19. That Jesus saw his mother standing nearby, saw her pain, saw her trauma, saw her difficulty, and sees it from the cross. And so the very first thing that we learn when it comes to seeing and learning from Jesus is this: love pays attention. Even when I'm in pain, love pays attention. Secondly, what does Mary see? Well, here's what Mary sees. When in pain, you're able to see the offered help of other people. You see, when it comes to things, and it comes to Jesus, there's no question that Jesus notices your pain. That's what we have right here in John chapter 19. Jesus notices Mary's pain. He notices your pain. He cares for you, and he will help you. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to see others trying to help us. But when we're in great pain, the great temptation is to isolate ourselves. Not to welcome the help that comes. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. She sees her son on the cross. But not just that. She also is aware of who he is. She sees her Lord on the cross. Incredible pain that she's in lots of different angles. And Jesus sees her and his mother, woman, behold your son. He's encouraging her to see someone else. And for us, the story goes is that Jesus, I think, teaches us here to connect with our family. He teaches us that even in our pain, we've got to be willing to accept the help that others offer. Sometimes I think we're tempted to think that either we don't need it or that it shows weakness or shows something. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, we are often so scared to just allow others to help us out, allow others to be there for us. Now, we want to be the one to be there for other people, but when we're on the other side of that coin, suddenly we don't like it as much. And we read throughout the New Testament, not just here, but it is like Jesus on the cross is telling us in our moments of pain, behold your family, behold the ones who can help you. We understand what Jesus saw in the midst of his pain, but what Mary saw was the allowance of others to help her. And finally, what it is that John sees. In verse 27, he says to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took him to his own home. Well, lastly, we need to understand that it's important for us to be able to see the family needs around us. I think sometimes we start to think about this, and I think it's easy to sometimes be overwhelmed by it, by the magnitude of it. Maybe we sit down and we really start to be conscious about who is it in my life that is in need that I can help? Who is it? And we may start to think of some folks, and that list may grow, and that list can grow, and that list can grow. Because here's the reality. Every single one of us have needs. All of us do. All of us have needs. You can look to your right, and you can look to your left. You can look to the front, right here. You can look behind you. Don't do that very long. It'll be awkward for the people behind you. Really awkward. But you can look all around. You're surrounded with people with needs. And we begin to think about that. And what happens often is we just become overwhelmed by that thought. We become overwhelmed by the magnitude of it. And we convince ourselves, well, I can't help everybody all the time. I can't fill every need of every person. And when we become overwhelmed by that thought, what happens? We don't do anything. But what do we see here? What's Jesus asking John to see? We made mention already. There were several grieving women at the cross. Several. What does Jesus do for John? Here's one that you can do something about right now. And I've thought about that a lot this week. this list that we get of all of the women given to us here. It paints a picture for us. All of the Gospels give us specific names, except Luke, which just says there were women there at the cross. But why do we have that information? It paints a picture for us in our mind. And we need to be willing to put that picture there of Jesus on the cross. And we need to put the picture of the people walking by and ridiculing him and spitting on him. And we need to put the picture in our mind of these women who were with him and walking around with him and close to him and weeping here at the cross. Put the picture on our mind of John being there with these women. And Jesus saying, here is one you can care for. And so as we close this idea, what's Jesus asking us to see? What has Jesus put in front of you? What opportunity has he placed in your way? What person is there near you that you can help? We think about Jesus, it's easy to be awed by him. And a lot of times it's easy to learn from him. But sometimes even in these little conversations, the wisdom and the power in God's word, as Morgan made mention, I mean, you just open it up and there's so much there for us. Even in this simple, intimate, personal conversation, what we learn about what love is all about. The cross is all about love. It's all about it. I mean, it has everything to do with love. And what's impressive to me and how I'm awed by Jesus is that even not just in the act and the sacrifice itself, as it showcases love, he is demonstrating love even there on the cross. As he forgives those who put him there. As he speaks to one of the thieves there with him. And as he speaks to John and his mother. Continuing to showcase love. And for me, it causes me to think, even when I'm in pain, I can see the pain of others because love pays attention. And when I'm in pain, Jesus has put others in my life to help. And I need to understand that we need that help. And I also understand, as John did, that I've got to be able to see the family needs around me and do something about the ones that I can do something about. Jesus' crucifixion in so many ways is a powerful story of love. It is God's love for man. You go all the way back to the garden when it is that sin entered the world, and because of that, death enters the world. Because of that, man is separated from God, and he doesn't want that, and he put a plan in place to make sure that man can be reconciled back to him. And that plan culminated with Jesus on the cross. And we're going to sing the song of invitation, and it gives us an opportunity to think about that. Because it was on that cross and when that blood was spilt that allows us through the waters of baptism to come in contact with that blood and have those sins washed away. And having that relationship with God that he desperately wants for us, but it comes down to our decision. Do we want that relationship with him? We're going to sing this song, and it gives us an opportunity to think about that. And maybe we can help you in some way this morning. If we can, you let us know as we stand and sing.